The joy is that the Easter season is about to begin. And Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Please stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Bitter is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. And they are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked, saves them, because they take refuge in him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated. We sing the hymn. Jonah chapter 4, we read again verses 1 through 11. But it pleased Jonah exceedingly, or it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would happen or what become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm to it that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that the Lord, that he asked that he might die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a day? And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand? Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. We sing the next hymn, hymn 758.
Thank you.
unto him who has washed us of our sin with his own blood, and has made us to be kings and priests unto his Father and God. To him be all power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, this is the last of the Lenten series this season. Tonight is going to be a mix of themes. First, it picks up the idea that repentance is an about face. And second, it looks at this fact. When God gives, he can, in his wisdom, take it away. Now, last week, the Ninevites, from the lowest to the greatest, repented at the word of warning and promise. They were given that warning and promise through the prophet Jonah, and it came directly from God. To say that Jonah wasn't happy about this is an understatement. There was a complete about-face in Nineveh. Their thinking and correspondingly their actions. This takes place before Nineveh becomes the great worldly power that it becomes. In that town, it was a fact, and it is always the case. Repentance is first a change of mind or a change of thinking. Metanoia te. Meta, change. Noia, mind. And following how the mind is changed and how we think, change of behavior follows. If this has happened once, it has happened a billion times. A husband and wife are in a car. The wife tells her husband to turn right at the next junction, and by mistake, he turns left. When he realizes what he's done, he says to his wife, "I'm sorry, honey. I went the wrong way." "Yeah, you did," she says. But if that is all he does, it isn't enough. His saying sorry isn't getting them any closer to their destination. In fact, the longer he goes in that direction, the farther away they go. Nothing is going to change until he stops the car, listens to his wife, a message to all husbands, and turns around. That's repentance. It's an about face. Always a lesson. Always important for husbands to remember. The people of Nineveh are growing power, arrogant, violent, wicked. Jonah is just a little guy, representing as the prophet a weak nation called Israel, coming to a town on the edge of their worldwide power. As he enters into Nineveh and preaches the message that God had given him, willingly or not, there is power in the word. Something that we need to remember. They could have just as well as heard the message and strung him up, but they didn't. People are tenaciously strong in supporting their place where they live. Mind you, it might be easier to listen to a prophet who has recently spent 3 days in the belly of a fish, his skin and hair bleached white from the acidic place that he had been, his clothes half digested with a dried up piece of kelp hanging off his left ear. I might listen to a guy that comes to me at my front door who says, "Repent," who looks like that. Now, I did make that up, trying to make a serious point, but also trying to be funny. My wife says, "Don't try to be funny. When you don't try to be funny and you're yourself, you're hilarious." By the time it took Jonah to get from the Mediterranean, to Nineveh, there's probably a lot of time that's gone by. So he probably looked pretty normal. It wasn't how he looked. It was the word that did the work and what God had done to prepare him to hear that word. Well, we just see Jonah Maybe he did regret some of this a little bit. His flight from God all the way to Tarshish, he had hoped, being thrown overboard, and his prayer in the belly of the fish, the Ninevites demonstrate the greatest example of corporate repentance that we see in the entire Bible. They hear Jonah and spontaneously respond in faith. See, it is faith that leads to actual repentance. And faith is a gift of God. And it comes to us through the gospel, Christ crucified. What do? They declare a fast. They remove their clothes, put sackcloth on, kind of like burlap, and they throw ashes all over themselves on their heads, and they go about mourning, sorrow being external and internal. This fast of regret and mourning is complete in that from the least person in this community to the greatest, they all are fasting. God always empowers the change of heart that comes, a change in behavior. He empowers it. And he does so, again, through the means of grace. Never discount the power of God's word to do what you do not expect it to do. And in Jonah's case, it did what he didn't want it to do. The king doesn't just call the people to fast and mourn. He calls for a change of behavior. He says in verse 8, let them give up their evil ways and their violence. The interesting thing is, even the worst sinner knows exactly what they're doing is wrong. Edwin Orr, a Baptist professor of church history, in his book described the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Welsh revivals of the 19th century. He says this, quote, as people repented, they did all they could to confess their wrongdoing and to make restitution. But it unexpectedly created serious problems for the shipyards along the coast of Wales. Over the years, workers had stolen all kinds of things, from wheelbarrows to hammers. However, as people repented, they started to return the items they had stolen. That resulted in a bit of a problem in the shipyards. There was an overwhelming amount of stolen property returned, piles of it. There were such huge piles of returned tools that several of the shipyards, put up signs that read, if you have been led by God to return what you have stolen, please know that the management forgives you and wishes you to keep what you have taken, unquote. Can you imagine if that type of repentance came to Bemidji? We should pray for that, shouldn't we? And the preaching of Christ crucified, you know how unique that is? There are very few churches that any longer point to Christ as the only way to salvation. Maybe we should expand our hope and our view to the whole state of Minnesota. It might do a number on our economic system when people become completely honest. The attorney general would be out of job. Wouldn't that be something? But look at all the people that would enter the kingdom. I truly would have prayed for a real gospel-motivated message to the Bemidji area and to Minnesota and the whole of the country, and for that matter, the whole world. I would have prayed that. Except, I have to ask myself, do I really believe that's going to happen? And shame on me. Is yet to come, I trust. That is always the real possibility as pastors preach Christ and the people of those churches proclaim Christ's death and resurrection. So Nineveh repents. major change in their thinking and in their behavior. And this is before Nineveh becomes a world power. But they backslide. But before that, listen. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of that city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he could see, till he should see what would become of the city. He's sitting there looking for God to bring down fire. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. We would be too. The scriptures say, seek the Lord while he may be found, suggesting there's a time when he can't be. Call upon him while he is near, suggesting that he is. Let the wicked forsake his way. That can be all of us. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God's greatest desire is to pardon us. In this we hear the gospel. The Ninevites heard it. But are we, you and I, hearing? Are we bold enough in the faith of Jesus Christ to be prophets, to be witnesses and evangelists, to tell the world that God wants to pardon their sin? Then the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So in listening to the Lord, what is our response? It all comes down to our point of view, doesn't it? If you think that you're holy and righteous, you don't need the Lord God at all. If you think you are securely in the grace of God, you might become arrogant. Perhaps one of the most difficult things to change is our point of view. Accepting that we might be wrong is a huge change. Just remember that all things are possible in the Lord. Here's a sad illustration of the point I'm trying to make. I think it's a true story, but I'm not sure. There was a dad, a mom, and their only son, and they just doted on him. And as he became older, he started looking at girls. The normal thing. And as he got older, he met a girl, and they started dating, and he fell in love. And he brings her home to meet mom and dad. His mother couldn't stand her. And eventually the relationship broke up. Some time goes by, and he meets another girl. He likes her a lot. She's a nice kid. And he dates her a fair amount of time before he risks bringing her home, but he does for a meal, and they sit down at the table. And somewhere in the meal, he's watching his mother. And he can tell she doesn't like her. And again, that relationship breaks. Well, he doesn't date for some time. But then he turns a corner and he becomes Twitter-pated. That's a Disney thing about falling in love. Something about a rabbit and somebody else. And after a period of time, he brings her home to meet mom and dad. Now, you got to remember, this young lady, she kind of looked like his mother. She had the same tenor in her voice, and she had same of the same characteristics. And he's so pleased that he can tell right away his mother just adores her. But his dad couldn't stand her. Point of view.
And if you try to tell that story and blame it on me, don't. God is indeed and ultimately the only one able to make always and all the time perfect decisions and decisions that benefit us. So, we have to sort out the opinions of all the imperfect people around us, including ourselves, who claim to be wise, kind of like Jonah. I know better than God. We do so by learning the scriptures. That's how we make good decisions. We learn the word of God. We learn the nature of God. We learn that God wants to forgive and has forgiven us all in the blood of Christ. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Can you imagine being in such hate and unforgiveness and having seen God actually forgive and the people that were forgiven changed, that he still wanted them to be destroyed? God has called us to love one another and to love the people in the street so much that we're willing to tell them about Jesus Christ. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? Jonah, you had nothing to do with the plant. That was a gift from me, and you missed the whole point. Too many times we become angry at the wrong things and for the wrong reasons. One, because our point of view may be simply wrong. God gives us blessings, sometimes blessings that we don't even recognize or give him thanks. And thus, indirectly angry at the one who sent the blessing. Something to be considerate of. Or even worse, as in my case, we do not notice the blessings for what it is. God's gift to help me. But no. I know better than God. Jonah stands as an example of someone who is so filled with anger, so filled with hate, he couldn't accept the goodness of God. I take things for granted all the time. I have been really glad for no snow. And guess what's coming? Snow. Sounds like a movie. Snow. But I've already decided what I'm going to do. I'm going to let it snow, and then I'm going to wait for it to melt. And then I'm going to be grateful. How many blessings has God given us in this congregation? I take things for granted. We all do. Like our pastors, our elders, Sunday school and the Sunday school teachers, the choir, the bell choirs, our preschool and preschool staff, the people we employ, our organists, our choirs, both voice and bells, and their directors, the pews that you sit in, the cushion on the pew. These are all gifts of God, whether it's an inanimate object or people. And those folks who have come into the family of God through holy baptism or come to know Jesus Christ because of the teaching ministry and the preaching ministry of this church. What a blessing our visitors should be to us. I still think we should set up greeter commandos. That means that everybody sees a different person that they don't know, go up to them and introduce yourself. Tell them that they're welcome here. Tell them that This is a place where we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we worship him because all of our sin is gone, washed away. And the Lord, we are told over and over again, is faithful and merciful and gracious. That this place is a place where God's word is taught as God intended it. And he, that is Jonah, said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor? Or did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night?" We must never, ever forget what we have. God has given us our lives. Husbands, wives, moms, dads, children. He's given us our livelihoods, our family, our friends. He's given us a place to worship and so much more, all that comes from the Lord. The world does not know that or even believe it, but it is nevertheless true. King Solomon, in prayer to God about the offering that had been brought in worship in 1 Chronicles 29:14, said, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all these things come from you, and of your own have we given you." He acknowledges rightly that everything that we have, everything, including ourselves, came from the hand of our loving Father. And how precious that is. In Psalm 24, we read, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." Everything comes from the Lord. The repentance that we see in Nineveh is nothing short of a miracle. It is impossible even to imagine that Nineveh would repent at the sound of a reluctant prophet's voice. It would be like Putin repenting at the word of law and gospel after a visit from Pastor Domke. Can you imagine? It would be a miracle, wouldn't it? But not impossible for God. In the same way, when we repent of our sin, it's a miracle in our hearts that we have heard the gospel and responded positively. Nineveh's change evoked the Lord's change. Our God changes from condemnation to grace willingly, finally, and always for the sake of Christ. What an awesome and life-giving about face. It means we more than survive, more than that, saved by faith through grace. Author Ken Sandel tells the story of Thomas Edison's ability to delegate big tasks when others would have refused. When Edison and his staff were developing the incandescent light bulb, it took hundreds of hours to manufacture a single bulb. One day, after finishing a bulb, Edison handed it to a young errand boy and asked him to take it upstairs to the testing room. As the boy turned and started up the stairs, he stumbled and fell, and the bulb shattered. Instead of rebuking the boy, Edison reassured him and then turned to his staff and told them, "Start working on another bulb." When it was completed, several days later, Edison demonstrated the reality of his forgiveness in the most powerful way possible. He walked over to the same boy, handed him the bulb, and said, quote, "Please take this upstairs to the testing room," unquote. Sandy then comments, quote, "Imagine how the boy must have felt. I can imagine that he was a nervous wreck. And I do not doubt that Edison was also a nervous wreck. But that is not how it is with you and God. When God forgives, the past It's gone. Even for that, of all people, the Ninevites. There's no nervousness. There's no worry. What if I mess up again? There's only one place in the whole of the universe that we can go for peace and joy, and knowing that God forgives the past and the future in the full promise of eternal life through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who creates and sustains all things, including us. Tomorrow will and is in Christ. New and fulfilled with his work as he uses us to further the kingdom. To close, I want to share a prayer with you. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, as miserable sinners deserving punishment, we come before you, O Lord. Have mercy on us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Give us repentant hearts, O Lord, ready to receive your love. Almighty God, you sent Jonah to the wicked city of Nineveh to show your grace and compassion. We give you thanks for sending your son, who endured intense opposition from sinners, to return us to you. Father, we thank you for showing us compassion by sending Jesus to give us eternal life. Father, we say thank you because salvation is from you, and we are grateful. Give us the opportunity then to invite others to share the Easter joy that is coming. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We'll now receive the offerings of God's people for the work of the kingdom.
Would you please stand for prayer? In our prayers tonight, Heavenly Father, we bring before you Tim Hansen, Linda Domke, for Chris. Father, we pray your blessing upon them. Your healing hand, your caring touch. We pray for the peace of your church. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit to bring a good Holy Ghost gospel revival, not only here, but throughout our community and the state and the country. We pray, Father, that in all these things we might realize that we can trust you. And as we worship you and we learn your word, that you will work in us to be the kind of people you want us to be. So, Father, we ask your blessing. And now, Father, prepare our hearts to spend next week in awe of what your love demanded. From the triumphal entry into Jerusalem to the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, help us to recognize this overwhelmingly wondrous, compassionate, merciful, and gracious gift that you forgive people even like me. So build your church, Father. Provide pastors for your church. And we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let my prayer rise before you as incense. And we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my voice, or my prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
Almighty God, by your great goodness and mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. We sing hymn 740.
Thank you.
I have only one announcement. I have no announcements.